This conference will.
Good morning. Welcome to the Hidden Profits Teleseminar Series. The purpose of this series is to explore ideas on how to make your business more profitable by becoming more efficient and reducing cost. In modern business, we tend to focus first on revenue growth, second on financial reengineering, and most of the time completely overlook cost structure, except as it relates to direct cost of production or temporary budget slashing. And these days, a lot of companies are in the temporary budget slashing process. I call this the corporate crash diet. Just like people who want to lose weight in a hurry and drastically reduce eating, corporations want to lose cost fast and drastically reduce spending everywhere. However, as in the diet, it can't be sustained, and we gain all the weight back. How many of us have been on that yo-yo? So in corporate cost slashing, it can't be sustained, and we gain all and more of the cost back. We rarely change our lifestyles, the same as we rarely change corporate lifestyles. In dieting, we have all learned that the way to be successful is to incrementally change our lifestyles and reduce what we take in. This teleseminar is about looking at ways to incrementally change business and corporate lifestyles to take advantage of technology, services from suppliers and service partners, and best business practices. We as human beings, especially the collection of human beings and businesses, don't really like change. However, when it comes to incrementally changing, we build an environment that rewards small change, and therefore it doesn't trigger a lot of the anti-change alarms that go off in our collective psyches. Excuse me. Our subject today is making accounts payable profitable. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my background. Once upon a time, when computers were just starting to be used in business, a young girl, that would be me, graduated from high school. Her father desperately wanted her to become an accountant, and she had worked in his HVAC business all the time she was going to school. But at that time, it was really important for her to get an apartment and a new car, and becoming an accountant seemed like it was going to take way too long. So in the kingdom, during that time, large companies were purchasing large computers and starting to automate transactions. It was really becoming a requirement for them because as the companies grew, they could no longer hire enough people to complete the transactions of the business in a timely manner. This created a need for people who were trained to write programs on these computers. So the young girl's prince of a high school counselor suggested that she enroll in a new curriculum at the junior college to become a computer programmer. She had no idea what that was, but it sounded like a good idea because he felt that she could make good money in a short period of time. So that was perfect. And then and in doing that, she began a very exciting career. Her fairy godmother also made sure that she secured her first job with a company that was rapidly moving forward in the new technologies and had a tuition reimbursement program. So with that tuition reimbursement program, she decided to return to school and obtain her degree in accounting. The two disciplines of technology and accounting, and then also her business knowledge from working in her dad's small business while she was in school, created an environment where she was able to make a contribution to many companies as technology became more and more ubiquitous over the last 30 years. In addition, she also worked and built her own software consulting firm in the late 80s and early 90s and has gone through all the issues that many executives look at today. So in my long career, I have worked with a variety of companies, and often in those companies, there's no real plan on how to use the technology advances and to improve the business and no real foundation on which to build. As a result, technology becomes a collection of tools that are used individually, often without much value to the business. Also, there are so many technology options available today that many companies, especially mid-sized businesses, don't really know how to go about looking at these, evaluating them, and figuring out what is the best approach for them. So they end up purchasing just what they read in magazines or what their friends are doing, and it isn't really necessarily what's best for them. So that is the purpose of our teleseminar, is to help educate everybody on the different options that are available. So today what we're going to talk about is accounts payable and how so many businesses today are still stuck in the old-fashioned accounts payable processes that are pretty much from the 1970s. Today, everybody has an accounts payable system, and someone enters the invoices into the system, and then on a regular basis, usually weekly or twice a week, issue checks for the invoices that are due. These are really digital tickler systems and check-cutting systems because of all the manual processes that evolve around them. And these manual processes have been in use since the beginning of business and are still used to process invoices in most companies today. So the process looks something like this. A manager or an executive within the company purchases a product or service needed for the business. They determine the vendor they want to use, agree to a price with the vendor, and place an order. The department then that manager or executive works in, they receive the product or service, and at the time that they receive that product or service, they get some sort of piece of paper from the vendor that confirms that that was done. These piece of papers can be a delivery receipt, a packing slip, some sort of receiving document, or sometimes even an invoice. In the departments, they usually either file this or they dispose of the document. Then the vendor sends an invoice into the company's AP department. Now an AP clerk receives this invoice, and that's when the fun begins, because the AP clerk now has to become a detective and figure out who purchased this. Who was it for? In a small business or in a business where everything is in one location, that detective process may not be too difficult. Or in a situation where the AP clerk has been there for a lot of years and he or she can recognize who purchased this, sometimes based on the vendor, sometimes based on information that they give the vendor to put on the invoice, they can track it down. But I have seen some companies where the poor AP clerks, they spend a lot of time trying to figure out where this invoice came from. So then what do they do once they figure out where it came from? Now they have to get that physical piece of paper to the person that had the purchase so that they can approve it and put all the appropriate accounting codes on it. So again, depending on the business organization, it could go through interoffice mail. That would be the easiest, or walking over to the person. But most of our businesses today, even those classified as mid-sized businesses, are virtual. They have multiple locations, and they are purchasing things from multiple locations. So you have managers that have to come from a variety of places and sign these documents. So now you get systems that get set up where the AP clerks keep folders for the managers to come to and on a weekly or biweekly basis sign all of their invoices and assign the accounting codes to the invoice. Or they snail mail them out to wherever the manager is, or they think they're really automated and they scan them into a file and email that file to the manager for the manager to approve it. But either way, that piece of paper or a facsimile of that piece of paper, that's the other thing they do is they can fax it, has to get into the hands of the manager so that he or she can sign and approve the invoice and also apply the accounting codes so that they can determine where the expense is to be posted to. So then when that gets done, then the AP clerk has to enter that invoice into the system. Now, if it's a vendor they've already used, then the AP clerk can just go in, pull up the vendor, and enter the information. If it's not a vendor that they've used before, then there's usually some other process that the AP clerk has to go through to make sure that the vendor gets added so they can use that vendor. All of this takes a lot of time, and you know, days are going by for that invoice to be paid. So usually when we get an invoice today, there's not very many days that you can spend getting the check issued in order to get it out and make sure that it's paid on time. And then heaven forbid that you have a vendor that's giving you a discount based on paying in 10 days or 15 days. This type of process is very difficult to get done in the 10 or 15 day window. You also have a situation where lots of these invoices get lost. And so then that's where you have late payments, vendors calling, and the whole dance that goes on between an AP clerk and a poor vendor who's trying to get paid, and the AP clerk is trying to figure out where the invoice got lost, and multiple invoices get sent in, and that whole mess. But let's say that the invoice gets returned and has all the proper authorization on it. The AP clerk then enters that into the system, and if need be, then a new vendor gets assigned. So now the invoice is sitting there with a due date on it. And so then on a periodic basis, usually at least weekly, if not biweekly, somebody in AP is responsible for now running the process that allows the AP system to find all of the invoices that are due and come up with a list of checks that are going to be printed. Some companies have a controller or CFO or somebody review that list and select out the invoices that they don't want to pay at that time for whatever reason. It could be cash management. It could be disputes with the vendor or whatever. But they'll take them out. But most companies don't do that. Usually, once the invoice is put in, the check is going to get cut. Now, if there's no review after the invoices get put in, before the check is cut, you're leaving yourself open to issues that happen in terms of just general human error. It could be assigning it to the wrong vendor. It could be entering the wrong amount, entering the wrong date. Lots of things, lots of human error that can come into that process that now is never checked because nobody's reviewing these afterwards. Or you also leave yourself open to fraud where AP clerks realize that they can put this information in on a different vendor and nobody's going to know because the invoice has already been approved. So that's an open hole that's open in a lot of businesses. So then you run the checks, and all the checks get printed. And so I have seen some companies that just automatically mail out those checks. They've got electronic signatures on them, and they automatically mail them out. This can be okay, but as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, there's a lot of things that could go wrong in that process. But usually what most companies do now is these checks have to be signed. So now we have another manual process to get these checks signed. So what happens is the AP clerk now takes all the checks that have been cut, goes through and finds all the paper invoices, paper clips the check to the invoice, creates a nice stack, and gives it to the controller or the CFO for him or her to go through that whole stack, review them, and sign all the checks. And of course, there's always issues that come up with that. And some companies still use the old process of the controllers going through it and, well, I don't want to pay this one, and I don't want to pay this one, and I don't want to pay that one. And so they pull them out. Now you have these checks that have already been issued that have gotten pulled out, and they are stored in somebody's drawer, and you have a whole other process that the AP clerks have to go through in order to maintain a list of all the checks that have been cut but haven't been mailed yet. But let's say they all get mailed or they all get signed. So now the AP clerk has to take all the signed checks and split them off and put them in the envelopes to mail them and then file all of these invoices. And of course, there's a variety of different filing methods that are used to file paper. But no matter which one's used, it's paper that's filed that later is going to have to be retrieved multiple times whenever there's questions asked about what was paid and why. And then there's also the issue of how long you have to keep them and where are you going to store them. Most offices don't have enough room to store all these invoices for as long as they're needed, so then you have a whole industry that's grown up for storing all this paper off-site and enabling you to retrieve it off-site. So this whole process today leads to minimally bad cash management, wasted time of AP clerks shuffling paper, invoices, wasted time researching payments, expense in maintaining filing systems on-site and off-site for years for the invoices to be saved, wasted time of managers and assistants and controllers to process the whole payment, vendors that are unhappy because of the slow payment, and processes being set up for special check runs that exasperate the problem. This is why the cost of cutting one check in corporate America today averages well over $4. In some cases, studies have been done that it averages over $6 to issue one check. So that is a very expensive process, and it's also very cumbersome. Then you add in the gosh awful ways that companies use to process expense reporting, and you end up with a massive AP department for even moderate sized companies and or a highly overworked and inefficient AP staff that make mistakes. So now let's look at ways that we can modify this process using just different business process and different technologies that are available. There's a lot that can be done in businesses today, and whether you would choose this in your business partly depends on how many invoices are being processed on a weekly, monthly, and annual basis. Number one. Number two, how spread out you are. The more remote processing there is, or the more remote locations there are for a business, the greater the need to have technology come to bear on the AP process. Also, just the size of the organization and the types of purchases that are made. So first of all, the number one thing is to have an electronic purchasing system. And today, almost every one of the ERP systems that companies are using to process accounts payable also has an electronic purchasing system. The problem is most people don't understand how to set up the purchasing process, number one. And number two, there's a perception that it is totally inefficient and totally restrictive and cumbersome. But in reality, it really frees everybody up. Because here's how this process works and how just implementing a purchasing system can greatly change and enhance the entire process, because it gets rid of this whole mess that comes from at the beginning for the AP clerk. So now it doesn't restrict the manager's ability to identify what that manager needs for his location and in a lot of cases where to buy it. Now some companies will go out and have authorized vendors and negotiate pricing with authorized vendors. That obviously helps reduce cost and is a good thing to do if you're a fairly good-sized business and make a lot of purchases from one or two vendors where it translates into a large purchasing block that you could get some benefit from. But even whether you do that or whether you don't, an automated purchasing system is a big help, because now you still go through the same thing of making the decisions, but you go into the purchasing system and enter that information. So now you've already selected the vendor. And if the vendor is new, you can upfront go through the process of getting the new vendor added and making sure that everything that is needed by the AP department about that vendor, they get in ahead of time. The other thing for the vendor is that the vendor has a PO, so the vendor knows that this is an authorized purchase because they have an authorized PO. The other thing that you can do is you have the ability to now have electronic routing and electronic approval of these purchase orders. And you also put in the accounting, the expense accounting that is to be assigned for this purchase. So in addition to any managers that need to be that need to authorize this purchase, depending on who's making it and what the dollar value of the purchase is, you can also have accounting review the PO to make sure that the expense coding is correct for the general ledger. So now you have all that scramble that takes place when the invoice comes in, you have all that handled up front. And you can also get reporting so that controllers, different managers and executives can have reporting of what are the outstanding POs and know what the company is committed to. Then with that system, when the items that are purchased are received from the vendor, the department that receives them can now go in and do what we call receiving the purchase order. And once the purchase order is received, now a couple of things happen. First of all, every ERP system, when a purchase order is received, automatically creates a liability. So now you are better matching expenses in the appropriate month in which they were incurred. And for a lot of businesses, this is extraordinarily important. So you have all of these expenses automatically accrued, so you don't have an accounting department that has to go through and try to figure out what AP invoices are not put into the system and try to accrue at the end of the month expenses. Or you just ignore them and you don't have it matched up. So now we have all the expenses accrued and we know the liabilities that the company is committed to because they have received it. In addition, for the accounts payable department, when the invoice is received, they now know that the product or service has also been received and there isn't a question as to whether the invoice should be paid. So now when you have the invoice coming in to the accounts payable department, the accounts payable department, instead of going through all this process of trying to figure out who purchased this, the first thing they do is go to the system and look up the PO. And most vendors will have, if they have a PO number, most vendors will have that PO number on the invoice. Even if they don't, you can go look up the vendor and you can see the outstanding POs in any system for that vendor. Depending on the system you have, some systems will allow you to just copy that PO and create an invoice. And so then the data entry function becomes much easier. And I'm going to talk about other technology that makes the data entry function easier also. But that is one way, is for when a system allows you to just copy the purchase order to create the invoice. But at a minimum, you have the purchase order information available. And so now all of that can be transferred over to the invoice and the AP clerk doesn't have to go through all the processes of getting it authorized. Plus on top of that, now since the PO is approved, as long as the invoice comes in at the same amount or within certain tolerances, and those are dependent on how the company wants to set those tolerances, then the invoice can be assumed to be approved for payment immediately. And you've got all of everything reviewed ahead of time, and the AP clerk can now not put that invoice into a different vendor and doesn't have a different amount that it can put in. It matches against the PO and against the receiving information for the PO. So that process almost immediately reduces all of that problem and all of that tracking down and losing of invoices and makes the whole invoice process much better. So I'll go ahead and take questions now on that process alone. If anybody has any experience in doing that or wants to comment on that, all you have to do to unmute yourself is press *7 and on your phone, and then you'll be able to talk and everybody can hear you. Any questions or comments? Okay, if we don't have any questions or comments on that, then I'll go on to the other technologies that work around this that make it even more efficient, especially for companies that have remote locations. So the first thing is, what do you do with this paper invoice? And are there ways that we can cut down the data entry and the storage of all of this paper? So there are many great document imaging systems today, and scanners that are relatively inexpensive. You also have document imaging systems that enable you to use a fax machine as a scanner, where you can dial a telephone number just like you dial a telephone number on a fax machine, fax the paper invoice in, and it automatically goes into the document imaging system and is scanned. So the key is having a system that allows you to immediately scan these invoices and get them into an electronic format. Many systems also have attached to them what we call OCR technology, which enables the document imaging software to find all of the necessary fields on the invoice and put them into your ERP system, so that it creates the invoice already in the ERP system. Then there is no data entry. It also will, if programmed correctly, can match against the PO, find the POs on it, because it will find the PO on the scanned image and then go look for the PO in the ERP system. How sophisticated these are depend on a couple of things. Number one, first of all, the sophistication of the document imaging system that you purchased. Number two, the capabilities you have in terms of defining the formats you get. Some of these document imaging systems allow you to define standard invoices that you get. So if you're a business that gets a lot of invoices from one vendor, let's say you have a uniform servicing vendor that goes to all of your different locations and you maybe get a dozen invoices a week or a month from that particular vendor, you can define what that invoice looks like. And so then the OCR technology will be have a greater percentage of perfection in terms of creating the invoice. The other thing that you can have is some of these systems are integrated with particular ERP systems, especially some of the larger and more popular ERP systems. So you'll have a document imaging and scanning system that is defined specifically for the ERP system you use. And so depending on which one you look at, it will determine how much upfront setup is required when you purchase and set up these systems. And so all of them take a little bit of time to set up. And of course, the more time that you put into setting up and the more specific they are to the ERP system that you use, the more accurate they're going to be. And so then the greater percentage of invoices that are created 100% accurate in the very beginning, so that you don't have to go spend any time going in and doing any type of data entry. There is always a need for a review of the ones that don't go through and need to be modified or data added to them. But for the most part, it can dramatically reduce the amount of data entry that is required. Secondarily, those systems have in them usually workflow routing. And sometimes the ERP systems have workflow routing. So now, if you first of all, if you've done the PO system like we talked about ahead of time, you don't have to route it for approval. But frequently there are reasons why you have to route. There's always going to be invoices that don't necessarily have a PO for them. Lots of times service invoices don't. So you have to route those around to be approved. Or if an invoice comes in different from what the PO is, then it has to be routed for approval. So you have these electronic routing capabilities so that managers get in their email a notification that they have an invoice that needs to be reviewed and approved. And they can review it, approve it, many times annotate it right there on the digital copy. And so then you completely eliminate all this paper shuffling. And the paper invoice can be filed or disposed of immediately as soon as the electronic invoices is implemented. Now, there are rules that the IRS has as to what invoices have to be maintained and for how long. But if you have digital copies of them, the rules are less stringent and you can dispose of the paper invoice more quickly than you can if you don't have a digital copy. So it does cut down on the expense in terms of maintaining all of the paper invoices that come in. So that's one way to get your invoices digital. Another way to get your invoices digital is just to have your vendor send you digital invoicing. That can be done by if you have complementary ERP systems with a particular vendor, you can set up and they can send you an electronic file that can be loaded directly into your AP system. Now, frequently this requires some amount of work from an IT department on both sides, and you only want to do this with some of your larger vendors that you get a lot of invoices from and spend a lot of money with, but it can be very feasible for companies that have specific partners that they work with. And then you don't have any type of paper that you're dealing with. You never get a paper invoice. It's loaded directly into your AP system and your AP department works with it from there. And you can also do your routing if you need to route for approval. So those are some key ways to handle all of the processing of the paper and the elimination of the paper, and then that starts cutting down your cost of cutting a check. So now let's look at some processes after the invoice is in and how you can handle payments and smoothing out that process. So first of all,
you're going on too fast.
I'm sorry.
A quick question about what would be the minimum size of a company who could utilize the ERP, and I don't know what ERP stands for.
Okay, my apologies. ERP is it's a common acronym for the standard accounting systems that run a company today, and most of these systems are integrated. So most ERP systems...
It means electronic something rather? What does the initial stand for?
The initials stand for Enterprise Resource Planning, which really doesn't mean anything, doesn't tell you anything about what the system does. What the system does is it's usually your order management, accounts receivable, purchasing, accounts payable, inventory management, general ledger, at a minimum. That's what's in an ERP system. Those functions.
Got it.
So it handles all of the accounting functions for a business. Now, you also have some other things depending on the type of business. You have modules that are called either job costing or project management, and those are for companies that have to track costs to a particular project or job they're doing. So classic companies like that are construction firms, engineering firms, lots of service-based business, lots of consulting firms do that. A company I worked at last year was a parking management facility, and they would do better if they had a job management so that everything could be assigned to a particular job. Companies that have a lot of capital investment, they will create they'll create jobs or projects to collect all of the costs for the capital project and then close those out to an asset. So those types of modules are available. Manufacturing systems, or manufacturing companies, I should say, also have add-on manufacturing modules, frequently called MRP systems for material requirements planning, that handles all of the manufacturing process, and those are integrated with the ERP. So that answer your question on that?
Most fully, it does. And the other thing I also wanted to know was, what would be the minimum size of a company who could start utilizing the electronic accounts payable setup?
Well, I recommend for purchasing almost any size company. Once you get over, let's say, 5 or 10 million, I've had clients. I had one client that was a $10 million company, and they were very judicious on doing purchase orders, and it helped a lot for them. It also depends more on how spread out a company is, but I'll say that for electronic purchasing, probably 5 to $10 million. You know, if you're a real small business and you handle everything yourself, you don't necessarily have to have electronic purchase orders. Then when you get into scanning, the bigger the size, then you can afford and need a more sophisticated system. You can have just a real basic scanning system that allows you to scan the invoices and attach them with a barcode to the invoice in the ERP system. But to get one of the sophisticated systems, you probably need to be in a $50 to $75 million range company with some pretty good size spend and a fair number of invoices. The other thing that depends more, it depends more not so much on the size of the business, but on the number of invoices they process. Some smaller businesses produce a large amount of invoices or process a large amount of invoices, and some large companies, you know, process a fairly small number of invoices. So a lot of times it has more to do with the number of invoices you process than the size of your business. But I would say that you'd probably be looking at least a $50 to $75 million revenue company before you get into one of those more sophisticated document imaging systems with OCR functionality on them.
Great, understood.
Okay.
Yeah, now how do I unmute?
Do *6.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so we talked about document imaging and all the OCR functionality. So now let's look at payments. And also, in payments, I'm going to go back and touch on a little bit the topic we talked about last week, which was credit cards as it relates to expenses. But today, the biggest thing is all the advances that have been made with banking systems to help you in your accounts payable process and in handling purchases that are made via credit cards, whether they're expense purchases or whether they're just a lot of purchases companies make today via corporate credit cards. And we had talked about that last week in managing expenditures. The banks today, in conjunction with primarily Visa and MasterCard, American Express also has a service whereby you can roll together in one Visa loan account. And, of course, the company needs to be authorized. How far into this you can go depends on your credit rating, because it ends up being actually a loan through the bank for Visa, just like any credit card is. So you're approved on that. But assuming that you are a company in good standing and you can get these lines of credit with Visa and with the bank, there are a whole lot of functions available. The larger the bank, usually the more features that they have. Some of the banks that I've worked with are Wells Fargo Bank, Bank of America, and PNC Bank have got some really good systems. And so what these systems do is, first of all, just on your general payables, you can pay your vendors that submit invoices to you through your credit card account. And how that works is, you have a credit card account with Visa. Each one of the vendors that you're going to pay are normally assigned a credit card number. And then your ERP system, instead of cutting a check at the end process of processing your invoice, you assign in your ERP system that this is going to be paid through your Visa account. And the ERP system creates an electronic file that then goes to your bank. And on that electronic file is the vendor that you're going to pay, how much you're paying. It's everything that goes on a check, how much you're paying, and also the vendor's credit card number. It's like a ghost credit card that the vendor has been assigned. And so then the bank passes that on to Visa. And Visa then authorized whatever amount you're paying. So let's say you are paying this particular vendor $5,000. The Visa then authorized on that vendor's ghost credit card, it authorizes $5,000. Your ERP system also sends a remittance, because whenever there's a check written, we have the check, which is a negotiable instrument, and a remittance that we send to the vendor so the vendor knows what invoices we're paying for how much. So the Visa process works the same way. The transaction that goes from the bank to Visa is a negotiable instrument. It replaces the check. Then your ERP system will send an email to your vendor with all of the remittance information in terms of how much you paid, what invoices you paid, and the total amount that has been authorized on their card. At that point, then, the vendor can go ahead and process that Visa transaction, and the money gets put in their bank account. They, the vendor, are the ones that pay the normal credit card fees, and the amount of fee that they have to pay is dependent on their merchant ID. So the first question that comes up is, well, what vendor in their right mind will accept this? And you'd be surprised at how many vendors will accept this form of payment. Partly the way you look at it is, first of all, vendors that you use that already take credit cards. If they already take credit cards, number one, for the most part, they have put the cost of doing business with credit cards into their pricing. So they've already planned for that in their pricing, and so paying the 1.5% or 2% or whatever it is that their credit card fees are is something that they're accustomed to doing. So that's not an issue. And then secondarily, the biggest reason they do it is cash flow. And the cash flow works on this type of transaction, the cash flow works to the benefit of both you and the vendor. First of all, the vendor gets paid usually faster. Most of the time when a vendor agrees to go on this type of form of payment, they want payment terms that are 10 to 15 days after the invoice is submitted. So then they get paid quickly, and they're more than willing to pay the 1.5% or 2%, whatever it is that they pay in credit card fees, in order to get that money ahead of time. In your case, the cash flow works for you also, because even though you're paying the vendor in the 10 or 15 day time frame, whatever it is that's less than 30 days, your Visa account bill is not due usually for 30 days. Now, the banks offer different incentive programs for you to pay that Visa in less than 30 days. So part of deciding how quickly your Visa card will be due, your Visa card bill will be due, is something that your finance department will weigh in terms of how long you want the cash float versus the rebates that you get from Visa. Because the other advantage that comes to you in using this type of process is Visa provides rebates. Just like you get points on your personal Visa card, you get rebates. And so the whole bundle goes into the how much the rebates are going to be is determined, first of all, by how much you put through the card. The more you spend on the Visa account, the more payables you put through on it, the greater the percentage of rebates that you're going to get. The other thing is the faster you pay the Visa bill, the higher the rebate is. So that's something that a controller or a CFO has to balance when you negotiate the agreement with Visa and your bank. But you can get rebate, which is actual either cash that the bank pays you through Visa or reduction in your banking fees. But some companies have made that real profitable for them. Last year in one of my teleseminars, we interviewed Jack in the Box. And Jack in the Box was making money off of that process. They wouldn't talk about exactly, but it was a very high six-figure number every year that they were getting from Visa for doing that payable. So obviously, the smaller the spend that you put through it, the less that you're going to get. But for almost every company, especially any company that is over $50 million in revenue, for almost any company, that can be a good source of, at minimum, some good reduction in banking fees. And it also makes your vendors very happy for vendors that do that. The vendors that you don't want to put on that type of program are vendors that that you already get a discount from. So if you're getting a 1.5% discount from a vendor, you don't want to put them on that because they usually take away your discount. And so you want to get the 1.5%, and so you still want to cut checks with them. But that is a very good process. Also today, banks offer wire transfers. You have EDI, all different forms of electronic payment that keep you from actually having to cut a check and go through the process of signing it, mailing it, putting it through your mailroom process, and getting it in the mail. So electronic payments make a lot of sense, especially for vendors that you are doing a lot of business with. The other thing that goes into these services that the bank offers is a real good process on handling your corporate credit cards and your expense accounts. Because the other big thing that eats up time and accounts payable and everybody else's time is handling expense reports. And also, as we talked about last week, monitoring your credit card usage. And we talked about P cards. But you can also have these processes on the regular corporate credit card, where you now as the business have the ability to go in and set credit limits, determine what types of businesses that the people that hold the credit cards are allowed to charge on either the credit card or the P card. And you can also change limits on the fly or authorize transactions that are one-time requirements. Many of the banks within the system also have electronic expense processing. So electronic expense processing is the final area I want to talk about, and you can get that through your banking relationship if you are using the corporate credit cards, and or you, there are lots of other companies that offer internet-based expense reporting systems, and many ERP systems offer that as a front end to their accounts payable system. So I strongly recommend that companies use these electronic processes for multiple reasons. Just like with the PO system for your invoices, you can now set rules in terms of what people are allowed to put in for per diem, what hotels they're allowed to stay at, how much they're allowed to have for meals. So all of these rules that you normally have written in your expense policy can now be coded into the program so that when the employee puts in their expense report, all of that is coded and it'll force it to be accurate before it is sent in. So then it reduces the amount of time that has to be used to go over all of the expense reports because you know those rules have been enforced already. Then you also have the electronic routing of the expense report. You also have you want the ability to scan in invoices if possible. Some companies don't use the invoice scanning, but they go ahead and have the employees mail the receipts in, and then they manually match them up. That's okay. That helps with the process if you're using the electronic expense reports, but even better is to use the scanning of receipts because then again, the IRS accepts the digital copy as a valid copy of the receipt, and so then you don't necessarily have to have the actual physical receipts and store all those receipts. You've got them electronically. It also enables the manager that's reviewing it to see all of the receipts and make sure that everything's in order. Then finally, expense reports. Cutting expense checks can be expensive too because frequently, unless it's a heavy traveler, expense checks aren't necessarily very big. They might just be for parking or some miscellaneous expense an employee had one or two times. And so you end up with all these expensive checks being cut for expenses. A lot of payroll systems today and the AP systems associated with them enable you to assign that this expense is going to be moved over to the payroll check and paid to the employee on their payroll check. And so then that cuts down, again, another check that's being cut and all the handling that goes with it. So those are the topics I wanted to talk about today in terms of getting your accounts payable system more efficient. And if anybody has any other questions or comments, please unmute yourself by pressing *7. No other questions? Fabulous. Well, I appreciate everybody coming today, and I will send an email notification out when I have this recording up and available for people to listen to. Our next teleseminar will be on July 2nd, and so I hope that some of you can join, even though that's pushing close to the 4th of July holiday. And anyone interested in chatting with myself or anyone else in our organization about your purchasing process or anything else that we can help you with, feel free to email me. My email address is Lynda, L-Y-N-D-A, dot Roth, R-O-T-H, at ljrconsultingservices.com, or call me at 818-709-6583, or visit our website at www.ljrconsultingservices.com. Thanks very much, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.